We're continuing in the sixth chapter of Judges, and we're ready to begin at the 11th verse of this sixth chapter. The setting up to this point is that the children of Israel, after being freed from their bondage by Deborah and Barak, did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites. And they've been delivered into these Midianites' hands for some 7 years. The Midianites greatly oppressed them. They took their crops. They overran the land just like a bunch of grasshoppers. And so they had been impoverished because of these Midianites. And finally, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And as a result of their cryings then, God sent them a prophet. And the prophet explained to them that God had been good to them. He had been their God, but they had not obeyed Him. They had not carried out their part of the bargain. They had feared the Amorites gods instead of the true and living God. And so he says, but ye have not obeyed my voice. So this prophet, we don't know exactly how long he was here, even to which parts of the land he went to, and then there's no name given for the prophet. But this prophet did serve the purpose of preparing the people for a deliverance, preparing the people for a judge to come, and to raise them up from their servitude. And after the prophet left then, beginning with verse 11, we have the story of the angel of the Lord come appearing to Gideon, for Gideon was to be the judge that would deliver them. So beginning with the 11th verse, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now this man Gideon was from the tribe of Manasseh, that part of it that lived in Israel, and they were from the family of Abiezer, which was the eldest son of Manasseh. His father's name was Joash, but Joash was passed up in this deed because we're going to find later that he still worshipped the idols. He still worshipped Baal. But his son Gideon thrashed wheat by the winepress. Now let's notice how this angel of the Lord found Gideon. Gideon was by himself. He was working in an area where there seemed to be nobody else. So many of the times when God does approach somebody, when God does choose a person for a special work, He's going to choose a busy person, somebody who is active, somebody who is not lazy. And evidently, Gideon was not a lazy person because he was threshing wheat. And we also find that Gideon had a lot of servants that he could have called upon to do this, but he himself did it. So he turned his hand to work, even though he might have been able to have gotten out of it. Not only was he by himself, not only was he working, but we find that he was distressed here because he was threshing this wheat by the wine press. He wasn't out in the threshing floor where he ordinarily would be threshing wheat with the oxen. But he had to hide to do this. For had the Midianites seen him threshing wheat, they probably would have come and taken his crop away from him. So he had to hide out by the wine press, an unusual place to be threshing wheat. And from the reading here, he was threshing it with a rod rather than by the use of oxen, either so that he wouldn't draw very much attention, or because he had so little wheat that he didn't need to use the oxen to thresh it out. So he's working in such a way to hide it from the Midianites, and as we know, it's bad enough to have to do hard labor like threshing wheat, but then to be further oppressed by having to hide from an enemy so that he doesn't come and steal and take our crop away from us, that makes matters a lot worse. So Gideon no doubt felt the brunt of this captivity and this oppression by the Midianites as badly as anyone else. And we see that the usual story is that the judges are raised up from the tribe that seems to be most oppressed, and it may very well be that then the Manassehites were among the most oppressed by the Midianites. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now we may ask ourselves, just who is this angel of the Lord? And he is referred to as the Lord or as Jehovah. So we have to think of him as being then an appearance of God. This may very well be the Son of God that's appearing here. But he's a mighty being. And as he appeared to Gideon, he first of all says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." He tries to encourage Gideon. He tries to give Gideon a boost to his faith by telling him that the Lord is with him. He also describes some of the characteristics of Gideon that are going to be needed in order for Gideon to carry out his work. He calls him a mighty man of valor. He can see that he is strong. He can see that he is industrious. And he calls him then the mighty man of valor. And the word valor is actually defined as that quality which enables a man to encounter danger with firmness, personal bravery, and prowess. Now we know that this angel is not just flattering Gideon, but he's stating things here that are in accordance with reality. Gideon truly must have been a man like this. But he had a weak faith. He did believe, but his faith needed some strengthening. And that's what this angel is trying to do. For we see Gideon's reply in verse 13, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So we see here evidence of Gideon needing to have his faith strengthened. He has some misconceptions of things. And here, as he sees all of the terrible things that have happened to them, been in 7 years of oppression by the Midianites, which is a long time for this to be going on. And so he says, why then is all this befallen us? Had he truly been aware of the reality of God's dealings with the people, he would have known why this had befallen them. He would have known that it was because of their sin, why his own father had the worship of Baal right there in his household. And it wouldn't have been hard to have seen this. And many times, whenever we do have distress, when we have adversity, it's difficult to see why it happens. But if we are truly perceptive, if we can become aware of the will of God and the Word of God, then usually it's not too difficult to see why we're having our distress. And that's the purpose of it, so we can see why and make a correction. And so we ask this question, why then is all this befallen us? And the answer would be, it's befallen you because you have forsaken God, because you've forgotten God. You've gone back into idolatry. And he further says, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And so Gideon is saying, if he ever did these miracles in the past, why is he not doing them now? Why didn't we not have these same miracles today? And we have to realize that God has different dispensations. And even different dispensations within a dispensation. So that the church, for example, in its infancy, when it's first formed, God will do things. He will perform miracles then that are not needed to be performed later on. And we have people even today who can't understand why the church today doesn't have the same miracles that it had during the days of the apostles. And they want to claim that the Holy Spirit gives them the same miraculous abilities that the apostles had. And they have the mistaken idea that they can go out here and raise the dead and heal the sick and do these miraculous things. I suppose some of them might even try to walk on the water like our Savior did. But actually, it's not intended that the church have these miracles at this time. And so the great things that he did to bring them up out of Egypt, God was not at this time doing exactly those same things. And as a matter of fact, because of their sin, God had told them that he was not going to drive these nations out, but the nations were going to stay there and be a thorn in their side, and that the gods of these nations would be a snare to them. So Gideon makes some mistaken conclusions here. He says, but now the Lord hath forsaken us. Now that's not true. The Lord had not forsaken them. Had he forsaken them truly, he would not have sent his prophet that we just read about a few verses earlier. Nor would he have sent this angel to have appeared to Gideon. The Lord had a concern for them. He had a feeling for them. But he was not going to give them release until they made some changes. So it wasn't the Lord that had forsaken them. They had forsaken the Lord. And secondly, he says, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And it really wasn't the Lord that delivered them. They'd sold themselves to the Midianites because of their sin. We must realize that our adversities are many times not something that the Lord has made happen to us just because the Lord wants it to happen, but it's because of something we have done that has caused us to deserve this, that's caused us to need to have it to happen to us so that we then can make a correction and save our souls and be better servants of God. So Gideon had a weak faith. Gideon had some misconceptions, and he needed to be straightened out and to start thinking in a different way. The nation needed to think in a different way. The nation needed to make some changes. And after making the changes, then God would give them deliverance. So verse 14 says, and the Lord looked upon him and said. Now here we have this angel described as the Lord. And this is actually the word that would be described as Jehovah. So this is the Lord God himself, or the Son of God. It's not just some created being that's appearing here now to Gideon. Looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. So he's giving Gideon a commission, and he's giving Gideon encouragement. He says to go in this thou might. You have the strength. You have the ability. You can do this. So you go with your strength. You go with your ability, take your ability with you, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And if there's any question about it, then he says, have not I sent thee? Now at this point, Gideon didn't know for sure that this was an angel. He didn't know with whom he was speaking. But no doubt when he was convinced that this was a true angel of God, this was truly God that he was in the presence of, then this commission, this encouragement, would stay with him. For the angel says to him, have not I sent thee? Now that's enough. That's all any of us need as a commission from God. Once we can find that God's word has clearly told us to do something, then there is no need to turn back. There's no need to falter. No need to question whether or not we can do it. We do it. Once we learn that God has instructed us to do it, then we do it. That's all that is necessary. And the same is here true for Gideon. He says, have not I sent thee? You're going to go. You're going to take your might and your strength. You're going to save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. You're going to be the one that breaks this oppression. And any question about it? I have sent you. That's enough. You'll have all you need with me. You'll have all the power, all the wisdom, all the ability to carry this out. Have not I sent thee? When we can read and find that the Lord has told us to do something, that the Lord has sent us, that the Lord has commanded us, that the Lord has desired us to do it, then that's enough. We have all that we need to be successful. Verse 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Now Gideon still is running himself down. He still is not claiming to have the ability and the power to do this. And so he asks the question, wherewith shall I save Israel? Now, how am I going to do this? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Here, I'm from a poor family, maybe one of the poorer of the families of this whole tribe. So my family doesn't rank very high at all. I'm a poor family. We don't have any political clout. We don't have any influence over the people around about us. We're looked upon as people in poverty. And then not only is my family like this, but I'm the least in my father's house. I'm the last one that would be asked for any kind of guidance, for any kind of leadership. I'm not the one to do this job. I'm inappropriate for it. So Gideon then actually runs himself down. And he doesn't let this great compliment that the angel had just given him, calling him a mighty man of valor and telling him that he is going to go in his might and do this, this save Israel from the Midianites. He doesn't let this affect him, for in his own mind, he is a lowly person. And here again, we find that many times God picks the one who thinks lowly of himself. He picks the one who is humble and not haughty to carry out his business. For we must not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We must not be puffed up. We must not be lifted up with pride. And evidently, Gideon was not that way. I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, verse 16, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now he again encourages Gideon. I will be with you. I will be with thee surely. I guarantee I'm going to be there, Gideon. I'm going to help you. And as a result of that, you're going to smite the Midianites as one man. It's just going to be like they were just one man. And whenever you knock that one man down, you will have conquered all of them. You're going to smite them as one man. Well, we see in the next verse that Gideon was not truly convinced. He definitely was interested. If this was the Lord, if this was truly an angel commissioning him to do this, certainly he wasn't going to back out on it. But he wasn't convinced that this was the Lord. And so he wants some proof. And the 17th verse says, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Give me some kind of proof that I truly am talking to an angel. Give me some kind of proof that I am receiving a commission from God, that this is truly the power that we're looking for. And he says, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. So Gideon is definitely interested. If this is an angel, then he doesn't want to neglect his duty. He doesn't want to neglect his commission. And but he asked for a sign, and he wants to know for sure if this is the angel of God. So he says, depart not hence, I pray thee. He's not wanting this person to leave just yet. This being, he wants to stay in the presence of this holy being. So he says, don't leave just yet. Stay here for a little while. And until I come unto thee and bring forth my present. Now this word for present means an offering. And so when he brought back whatever it was he was going to bring, it would either be something that this being would consider to be an offering, or he would consider it to be a meal. If he ate it like a meal, then he would be a man. And maybe not an angel at all. But if he treated it like a true offering, then this would be a sign more to Gideon that he was a heavenly being. So I bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry till thou come again. So the angel agreed to wait. Verse 19, and Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. So he was instructed then to just take this and lay it out there on the rock, pour the broth over it. If it had been warm, it would cool very soon upon this rock. And then Gideon did as he was told to do. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there arose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So he took this and made fire just come up out of the rock. He touched it with his rod, touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes with his rod. And there arose up fire out of the rock. So this had to be a miracle. It had to be a sign. As much or more than Gideon could have ever hoped for, that this truly was the angel of God, that this truly was a divine commission that he had received. And so Gideon then realized that this was a valid thing. and then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight, which indicates that he didn't just walk away and gradually leave, but he departed. He suddenly vanished. And this, again, was another proof that he was in the presence of a miraculous being. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." Now here Gideon realizes for the first time that this truly, it was an angel. He's convinced. He's a believer now. His faith is going to automatically become a lot stronger now. And so he does like all mankind does when he finds himself in the true presence of God. He has fear. He says, "Alas, O Lord God." Gideon is afraid for himself, afraid for his life even. Here he was in the presence of an angel. "For because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." You're not going to die, Gideon. Gideon was afraid for his life. "Thou shalt not die." The Lord said this to him. The Lord evidently spoke this in an audible manner so that he could hear it. "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." You're going to have peace, Gideon. You're going to have tranquility. Your faith has been strengthened. You've been given a commission. You're going to be able to follow what the Lord wants you to do. Then Gideon built an altar there under the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, which means God peace. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abba Ezrites. So he built a memorial. He built an altar there, and he called it the place of peace, or the place of God peace. He had received his commission. God had told him he would have peace, and so that was a memorial to this event of the angel appearing to Gideon. So now we have the stage set. Gideon's been called and commissioned, and so we're ready now to give some deliverance from the hand of the Midianites. Well, we're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friend.